In the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests and perhaps the views of our listeners. We'll see how the program goes. Please hold your calls until we ask for them later in the program. Our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald. Well, before we get to Cal, I just want to mention a couple of things that I think you should be aware of. In Iraq, as you know, once we had won the war, we immediately disbanded the army, the police, the civil service, and created the chaos that is there today. And every time we seem to be getting things under control, why things go from bad to worse, letters, I pointed out that the Major General was appointed, American Major General, was appointed to rebuild the Iraqi army. After all, we can't pull our troops out till we have an Iraqi army. Has to be somebody to maintain law and order over there. And so they gave him six men to build an army for a nation of 25 million people. And we have the quotation in one of my recent newsletters. You should get it and read it as this American general is trying to rebuild an army, and he just says you can't rebuild an army. We have no non-commissioned officers. We have no staff. Trying to build an army without non-commissioned officers is like trying to put up a tent without any tent poles. You can't do it. So what's happened over there is we've simply forced a quarter of the middle class of Iraq to leave. About a 1.85 million Iraqis have left the country. This is the middle class. This is the stabilizing force over in Iraq, and they're all picking up and leaving. So many of them have been killed, no opportunities. They're fleeing the country. The end result of bringing freedom and democracy to Iraq. And now apparently we're going to do the same thing with Iran. We have our forces, increasingly surrounding Iran. In Europe, we're insisting that the countries over there stop doing any business with Iran, not lend, the banks shouldn't lend them any money, limit their ability to invest in Western Europe or for Western European countries to supply the things that they need. And now the Europeans are concerned about the danger of Iranian missiles hitting their country. So we're going to build a missile shield for Europe to protect them from the Iranian missiles, which could very well someday be raining explosive, maybe even nuclear warheads down on Europe, as our government is doing everything they can to precipitate World War III. But we can't let the American people know that. Oh, no, we're negotiating with Iran. And we're not going to negotiate them with very well. And it almost appears that the people in Iran are doing everything they can to incite a war, and the people in Washington, D.C. are doing everything they can to incite a war. And those of you who know, I was back in Washington, D.C. just a couple of weeks ago talking to key people who told me that with the government unraveling, the Bush administration unraveling the way it is, they may very well precipitate the war with Iran very soon in an effort to rally the people behind them. Well, with that as the background, let's get to Cal Grunwald. Let's get to what's really going on in the gold and silver market and the stock market, because the stock market has been dropping like a rock during this last week. Certainly the price of gold and silver have fallen. And Cal, have you noticed that, the price of gold and silver? Is this disturbing many of the people that you work with?
No, actually, it's a comfort. It sounds strange, but I was getting so concerned at the dramatic rise of gold, and I was just hoping it would either plateau or else fall back. And so when I saw it go from 730 to 653...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. We're talking about what's happening in the gold and silver market. Go pick up the story there, Cal.
They were saying when I saw gold go from 730 down to 653 in a week and a half, I was very, very happy, because I was around for 1980, and I remember very clearly what happened there. You know, gold went from around $400 an ounce to $850 in 4 months, and it was a panic, and And there was also a run on silver too, which went from around $4 an ounce to $53 an ounce. And I know a little bit about the markets and the psychology of it all. To know that once gold hit 700, I just thought, oh no, here we go. But once Americans wake up and start buying gold, it'll be all over in a couple of weeks. You know, there won't be any more gold to buy. Right now, the American public is by and large still asleep in a comatose state. Totally, blindfolded and blinded by the media. And the rest of the world, however, they see two things. They see what's going on in our country. They also see what's going on in the rest of the world. They know that our dollar is the cause of the biggest cause of gold going up right now. Our dollar has lost over 60% of its value now in the last 4 years. And that's why the world's swinging into gold and other commodities. But Americans still don't know any of this. So they're still asleep.
I certainly agree with you. I think that the average American has little knowledge of what's going on, and certainly all of the major brokerage companies are discouraging people from getting into gold and silver. They'll just stick with the stock market. It's going to come back again. Of course, they were saying that, you know, when the stock market took its big bath back in 2000 and 2001, they were assuring everybody it was just going to go, well, the stock market was going to go to, you know, to 20,000, and the NASDAQ was going to go to 10,000, and I can even remember back in the early 1990s when they were telling us that the Tokyo Stock Exchange, which at that time was about 40,000, was going to go to 100,000. These were the greatest times of all. And, of course, there's an old adage that when the last bear becomes a bull, why, you know you're at the top of the market. And recently, why, Stephen Roach of Morgan Stanley, who's been a persistent bear on the market for a long period of time, said that now he's come back into the bright side. He thinks that things are going to really do well, especially as far as international stock market, and he's suddenly become a bull. The last bear has become a bull, and I think as far as the stock market, we're going to see some very serious repercussions. But as far as the gold and silver markets, we'll talk about that in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were just saying that Stephen Roach, who is certainly the senior economist for Morgan Stanley, has been very, very bearish on the market for a good long time. And recently, he did a complete flip-flop. He became a bull. Everything's great. Things are going to go fine, especially the international markets. And that old adage, when the last bear becomes a bull in the stock market, that's when you've really got to worry. But there's a recent article by Richard Russell. Do you know Richard Russell and his reputation, Cal?
Yes, I do.
And he wrote an article. I just read it this morning. And basically, he said that everything is right on course, at least as far as the precious metals are concerned. There will be three stages in the run-up of precious metals. The first stage is finished now because of this back-off, and you had to have the back-off to get back to a solid base, and where that will be, we don't know. But, of course, the next uplink will be a very, very dramatic one. And then the third will be the blow-off. He doesn't tell us when it's going to come around, but I can remember when I got started studying these things back in 1962. And Richard Russell was around then, and certainly he was making predictions about what was going to happen. He's been consistently right through the years. I think he's one of the certainly outstanding people. And he thinks everything is right on scale. He thinks the one investment that really will hold up as everything else begins to fall apart is gold and silver. I put a lot of credence in what Richard Russell says. How about you, Cal?
Yes, he's been very solid. You can't really fault 98% of what he says, and that's a pretty good track record. So
he writes the Dow Theory Letter, and if you're out there in the listening audience, I suggest you get on your computer, if you have one, and Google in Richard Russell, recent report on the gold market. I think you'll be fascinated and perhaps edified by what he has to say, because basically, if you look and see what's happening in the world, every country has a fiat money system, a total paper money system. It's just like monopoly money, only in a monopoly game, there's only a certain amount of money on the board, and everybody plays for that amount of money. in a fiat money system, a worldwide fiat money system, there's unlimited money. Any government in the world can produce all the money they want to. Of course, it does impact on their on the value of their dollar, but this is what we've been doing. We've been creating money out of nothing and spending it all throughout the world. And as long as the rest of the countries use our currency as their reserve currency, and they've had to in the past because that was how you bought oil. In other words, you had to have dollars to buy oil. But what happens when Russia begins to move towards the euro, which they're talking about doing, and Russia is the, well, the second largest, soon to be the largest oil producer and natural gas producer in the world, and they are talking about opening up their own sales system and marketing their products in euros. If Iran does the same and some of the other countries do the same, people won't need to hold the dollar anymore, will it, Cal? And what will the implications of that be?
Well, again, this has been, as I mentioned before, this has been taking place rather quietly. At least the American public doesn't know this, but just about every nation on the face of the earth for about the last year has demanded that we turn dollars into euros and pay their bills, whether we're buying oil or computers or electronic equipment or whatever it is. And this is why the dollar is fallen so far, because there's no confidence in it anymore anywhere in the world. So it's really taken a beating. There's some interesting articles that I ran across, one from the Financial Times, May 13 and 14. The headline was "Greenback Takes a Pounding Over Deficit." And it explains how our trade deficit is actually being helped by the falling dollar, and the government is going along with it simply for that reason. So it's planned. It says the dollar suffered a sharp sell-off yesterday, tumbling to its lowest level against the trade-weighted basket of currencies since October of 97, as fears about the U.S. current account deficit crossed world markets. And it's been a real problem, and then it went on to say the dollar has lost 7% against the euro, yen, and sterling since the beginning of April. The current sell-off, which has seen the dollar fall against several currencies, has led to speculation of a tacit agreement to weaken the dollar. So it's planned. The government's planning it. And then coupled with that is an article out of the Wall Street Journal, not that that's a stalwart paper, but that was also on May 13th and 14th, the same days as the Financial Times. The headline is, U.S. quietly hopes the dollar's drop eases trade gap. And then it says, the dollar's slow slide could become a steep plunge if markets turn against it, particularly if investors fear that U.S. officials are trying to engineer a drop.
And I think that people have to understand that our government officials want the dollar to go down in value because that will make our goods more competitive on the world market. The problem is, what it will mean is that down the line, Americans will be paying more for any goods that come in from foreign countries. And today, so many of their goods come in from other foreign countries, specifically from China. And the Chinese, of course, have outsmarted us because they pegged their currency to the dollar. Now, recently, they did peg it to a basket of currencies rather than to the dollar. But in the past, every time the dollar dropped, why the Chinese yuan dropped, so we didn't get any trade advantage. But the biggest thing is that although we open our markets to the Chinese goods, they don't open their markets to our goods, and that's why we have over a $200 billion a year deficit with communist China, because they are manipulating things in their favor so that they end up winning and we end up losing. And why would our government officials be that stupid unless, of course, it is possible that our government officials want to build up the economy of communist China so that they can build up their military status in preparation for the coming world war. Could that possibly be the case? Will you explain to me why our government officials are transferring our sophisticated missile technology to the communist Chinese, allowing them to get all sorts of equipment that has dual usage? In other words, it can be used for civilians, but it can also be used for military technology, our most advanced computers, without which they would not be able to program their missiles or even consider waging a war against us, and yet we are transferring our military and scientific technology to communist China and intentionally giving them a tremendous wage, pardon me, a trade advantage over us. And none of this makes sense unless there's another agenda, which, of course, is almost too horrible to contemplate. Unless you remember David Rockefeller's article when he came back from China in August of 1973 after the Chinese communists had killed almost 100 million people. That killed almost 100 million people. In fact, between 58 and 62, they starved to death 43 million of their own people. And David Rockefeller said, you know, the social experiment in China under Chairman Mao is one of the most important and successful in history. And you read that article in the New York Times in August of 1973, he just couldn't say enough good things about communist China that it just killed 100 million of its own people. So we seem to have, this dichotomy within our own country. Some of our leaders have a different world vision than the average individual. Well, anyway, if the dollar keeps dropping, what impact will that have on the people here at home, Cal? And how can people protect themselves against it?
Well, of course, it is having a disastrous effect on people here, especially the middle class. And of course, we're headed for a time when the middle class will be no more. There's going to be two classes, as in the feudal system in the Middle Ages, the very poor and the very rich.
Sort of like they have in Iraq today when the middle class is simply fleeing the country.
Yes.
Thanks to American policy, a quarter of the middle class of Iraq now is either fled or is leaving the country. We've destroyed the middle class of Iraq in the name, of course, of bringing them democracy.
Well, again, that's what's happening here in a little bit different way. But, you know, Thomas Jefferson said it best years ago when he said, if you can control the currency of a nation, you can control its people. And so I go back to a story that I told maybe 6 or 9 months ago on your program about my supplier in New York City was on a, I'll retell it for those who probably didn't hear it, but it's pretty significant. My supplier in New York City was taking the subway home one evening, and he sat down, very well-dressed, distinguished-looking gentleman sat down beside him, and they struck up a conversation about the economy and about the dollar, you know, coming down and everything else. And this man started expounding on those things, and my supplier was a very knowledgeable man. But he was astounded at this man's insight and wisdom. And what this man said is that The Federal Reserve has a 12-member board, and six of the members have determined and purposed to drop the dollar another 20% as soon as possible. And this is their plan. And he said, if it continues this way, at that point it had already lost 50% of its value over the last 3 years. He said, if it continues the way it's going, within a year and a half to 2 years, we could have a dollar crisis where the dollar would fail. And the man didn't give his name, but he identified himself as an analyst that worked for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York City. So this is an inside story, a true story. And we can see now, as even in this Wall Street Journal article, Treasury Secretary John Snow says, another members of the President Bush's economic team see continued dollar weakness as the best hope for curbing the trade deficit. Quote, if we're going to get our trade deficit down to manageable proportions, it's hard to see how that could happen without a very substantial depreciation of the dollar. So this is their plan, and it's in place. It's all consistent, and all the pieces are falling together, and it's determined to wipe out the middle class as well.
And I think that's very difficult for people to understand that they would want to wipe out our middle class, but we've done it over in Iraq. Why not here? Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald. And when we get back, of course, I think we will take some questions from our listeners. If you'd like to give us a call, our number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, the government keeps telling us we really don't have much inflation. Well, they admit we'll have a little bit more inflation recently. And of course, that threat of inflation is one of the things that's been used to justify the fact that we're having some monetary problems with the dollar's falling. But the truth of the matter is they're lying to us about inflation. And what they do is they create a group of things that people buy, and then to remove this idea of inflation, they take out food, and they take out health care, and they take out housing, and they take out the price of oil and gasoline and all of these things. And the only thing they leave in are the things that we get, you know, buy at Walmart, and they say, see, there's no inflation. Everything is wonderful. And yet, of course, if you look and see what's happening to the price of food, and look and see what's happening to the price of gasoline, and look and see what's happening to the price of an apartment, and look and see what's happening to the price of medical care and the drugs you buy, they're all going through the roof. So how can they say there's no inflation? Very simply, they simply lie about it. Would you agree or disagree with that, Cal?
Well, yes, it's again another way that government cooks numbers to keep the public in the dark and deceived and in line. And of course, they tax us to death, so everybody's got to go to work, and then, you know, keep us occupied. And then, of course, the media is there to brainwash everybody, and anybody that's tuned into the, you know, TV or reads the major media, they don't have a clue what's really going on. So it's just like you say, the story behind the story, and that's what your show is all about, and, you know, informing people what's really happening out there so they can take some steps to avoid the calamities ahead. And again, this is not just a bunch of hype. This is happening. That's why the price of gold right now is telling the story. The world is telling us the story of what's happening to our country and what's happening to our dollar. We just don't know it yet.
Well, I'm sure that is true. I'm sure the average individual really doesn't want to even think about the fact that we could be seeing the demise of the value of the American dollar. We could be seeing the beginning of the end of the savings and the pension funds and all of the things that, you know, people have put aside for their retirement. In country after country after country, when they've gotten into economic difficulty, the middle class has simply been wiped out. And, of course, the wealthy, well, they know what's going to happen, and they're already moving out of the country. What's Warren Buffett doing? Warren Buffett is investing in foreign companies. Listen to what Warren Buffett says. He said, I'm going to start investing in foreign companies. He's recently bought up a large company, 80% of a large company in Israel. You know, I don't know how many billions of dollars he's putting out for that. But Warren Buffett's a very, very smart man. He's made a lot of money, and he has no confidence in the American dollar. He's even continuing to short the American dollar. He shorted it in the past, and he lost almost $1 billion, I think $900 million last year, shorting the dollar. And so what is he doing? He's continuing to short the dollar. Because, of course, if he's right, eventually he'll do very, very well. So, but the interesting thing is that people like Bill Gates and people like George Soros and the smart money is moving out of this country. And when we get back here in just a moment, I'll tell you what I learned from one of our listeners who is investing with a financial advisor and what this financial advisor is advising her clients to do. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald, and Cal certainly does support Radio Liberty, and we appreciate his help. And if you would like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, certainly one of our good friends who's a financial advisor, and I won't give her name out, but she's a frequent guest on this program, sent a letter to all of her clients. And since one of my listeners called me today and asked me about my advice, what I thought about it, the advice is being given, you have got not to try to make money. Give up the idea of trying to make money in the markets today. Try to preserve what you have. And so they're suggesting that buying euro dollars or buying foreign currencies, investing in gold, and in various gold increments. Those were the major recommendations that were being made. But this idea that was being put forth by a very well-respected financial advisor, starts getting your money out of the country. And this is a letter that's being sent to all of the various clients. And I think it is probably a very valid suggestion. And as a woman said, you know, well, would this really be unpatriotic to take my money out of the country? And I said, look, you can't influence what's going on. Let me tell you what the smart people are doing. You've got to look after yourself. You've got to start trying to protect your holdings so that you will not be destroyed by what lies ahead. Our leaders are intent upon destroying the value of our currency, and you only have to read what Paul Volcker wrote, in the Washington Post last year, talking about what lies ahead. And, of course, he said a wise observer of the economic scene once commented that what can be left to later, it usually is, and then, alas, it's too late, talking about trying to save the dollar and our economy. And then Paul Volcker said this, I don't want to let stand as the epitaph of what has been an unparalleled period of success for the American economy and of enormous potential for the world at large. In other words, we've had a great run. All you have to do is print a lot of money and make everybody prosperous, and it really works very well for a time. But then his other comment, and of enormous potential for the world at large. And what we've done is build up the economy of communist China, and build up the economy of India, and transfer our industries there, and transfer our jobs there. And then we wonder why things are happening here in America, and why so many people are out of work, and the employment figures aren't accurate, and the inflation figures aren't accurate, and an awful lot of people are seeing their living standards begin to sag as the jobs are being taken, as the flood of illegal immigrants being encouraged by our administration comes in. And if the current administration or immigration laws pass, you haven't seen anything. They're talking about increasing our population by 2/3 within the next 20 years. And this will totally destroy the middle class in America. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Cal certainly talks about what you have to do to try to protect yourself in times like these. So what would you tell our listeners if somebody does call you, Cal? What do you tell them about what they should be doing?
I just basically explain to people that you should be buying something tangible with your money. You get out of financial institutions and buy, you know, every year's worth of food, and get gold and silver if you can afford that. Medical supplies, you know, you should just basically sit on the sidelines with your wealth in your hand, because when the government engineers another 9-1-1 or something similar to that, another Pearl Harbor, if you will, the government can easily tell the financial institutions just to close your doors, and we'll have another Argentina. And so it's not, you know, you don't have to panic to do this, but just in a calculated way, say, I better take my dollars and, you know, convert them into something tangible so I have my wealth with me. Another thing that's really happening out there is the gold market is getting so tight now, and this is what I feared, is that we're almost on a cash and carry basis now. I used to have, if someone wanted to buy gold and silver, you know, I could lock in a price and then, you know, have 2 or 3 weeks, you know, for the person to get their money to me. But now it's almost on a cash and carry basis. That is, you know, if you have your money in your hand and you're ready to wire it, you can lock in some coins. My one supplier ran out of coins last week for a few days. I mean, this is what I feared. So I'm telling people, you know, silver is really not in shortage, but gold is. I'm encouraging my people now to buy gold while you can, because the day is coming, I don't think too far down the road, when you won't be able to buy any gold for any price, because there won't be any left. So it's a real critical situation out there. People don't realize it, but me being in the middle of it, I'm just telling you what's happening out there. So, and I've seen a lot of people buy a lot of gold, large amounts of gold.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Cal Grunwald. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got William calling from Wyoming who's listening to us on shortwave. What frequency are you listening to, William? William, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm William. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, it's good to have you with us. What frequency are you listening to?
Well, if I'm looking at my frequency dial right, I believe it's up around the 5-meter range.
Okay, 5.820. Go ahead.
Yeah. And but anyway, I wanted to state that with it would be extremely detrimental not only to the middle class but to the United States per se, because our water tables are not going to be able to handle the populous centers. Our aquifers have been drying, and unless there is another type of formula, scientific formula applied, such as utilizing our oceans through desalinization, we're not going to be able to handle the population. And the other issue is the bifurcation through obfuscation of the sovereign United States, customs, language, borders, that sort of thing. And I'd like to know where your guest weighs in on that. I'm sure it would be good. I just would like to know where your guest
is. The question then basically, Cal, is how do you feel about the government's plan to all certainly increase our population 60% within the next 20 years with an influx of probably close to 200 million people, by the year 2026. How is that going to impact on our society?
Well, with no jobs, it's going to be disastrous way before then. So I guess we won't. I'm not belittling what the man said. I'm sure he's very, very knowledgeable, I can tell. But, we've already sent 80% of our good jobs out of the country, so the only thing that's left is, jobs for that the Mexicans are taking over, mowing yards, and, we're industrious people. They're just driving everybody else right out of business. I'm not prejudiced or anything. That's not the point, but this is what's happening to our country, and they're going to take over.
And am I still on the air?
Yes, you are, William. Go ahead.
I had another question.
All right, fine.
For your guest. What about reviving? Now, there's already, the Congress has already talked about this already, our bicameral government signatory. What about opening a kind of, I'm going to use the terminology, universal industries that would come back in both continental Canada, Latin America, and of course our sovereignty, the United States, reopening our manufacturing base, sovereign base here in the United States? Why couldn't that be revived?
It could if the powers that be had that intent, but they don't. They have just the opposite intent, to bleed us of all of our good jobs, bring us to, impoverish us and make us slaves.
Hold that thought right there, please. We'll be right back with... Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have William calling us from Wyoming. And, William, we're actually going to be talking about the immigration invasion this next hour, so I hope you'll stay on. We're going to have Glenn Spencer. We're going to tell you what's in this new bill that's coming down the line through the Senate that is the full backing of the administration designed to destroy America. So we'll be talking more about that. But William had asked, why couldn't we simply revive our industries? And the reason is, because our leaders do not want to revive our industries. They have certainly done away with our tariffs and our barriers in a conscious, intentional effort to transfer our wealth and our jobs to other countries. Until we have leaders who believe in America rather than this globalist dream, nothing's going to change. But why don't you maybe call in next hour, William, because that's what we're going to be talking about then, okay?
Well, I appreciate your present subject, too.
All right.
I'm listening.
God bless you. Thanks so much for calling. Our telephone number, first of all, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But before we go on, Cal, why don't you get your telephone number out and your website so people would know how to get in touch with you and your organization, the Gold and Silver Exchange .info. Go ahead.
Right. Well, my phone number, for those who want to call me directly, is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. And my website is www.gold, and write out the word and, it's goldandsilverexchange.info. Goldandsilverexchange.info. And there you can, what I'm offering is a packet of information that's rather extensive. I've written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. And it's like an expose. It's an educational piece on what you can expect out there and what you can, you know, the good and the bad and what to watch out for, what to do, what not to do. And there's some very interesting articles from the 1933 New York Times when Roosevelt confiscated gold. There's an article on the Fort Knox gold that's no longer there. There's some articles out of the USA Today that, you know, talk about a fiscal hurricane coming and all these things that are coming to pass. Again, history is starting to repeat itself, and we're kind of right in the middle of it. So it's a free paper that you can sign up on my website, and then I'll just you know, send you the paper. I really enjoy talking to people, and I used to be a former teacher, so I do everything through education. People who know me, I know I'm not a high pressure person. I don't believe in that. I scorn that kind of a thing. If you can't explain logically and reasonably something to somebody and have them make a decision on their own, it's not worth it. So I would welcome that very much. If you would either call in or sign up on my website, and I'll talk to you and send you the paper.
Well, now, what about silver? Is there plenty of silver? Those bags of 90% silver coins are still readily available? And what about the bags of 40% silver coins? Are they available? And are people buying those?
I've never sold one because, you know, it's, you know, unless you know the dates, you're not going to be able to really use it as 90%. It's just complicated. It's more like for speculators who buy that. The 90% is what I recommend because, you know, that's what everybody's going to know. That's what everybody's going to be able to use. The 40% is just kind of impractical.
And of course, what was that? It was 1995, 1996, somewhere in there, that they did put out some 40% silver coins. And then, of course, they really wanted to take everything of value out of our currency. And of course, that's what they did. Now, the trouble is that the penny, right, today, it costs them about 1.3, 1.4 cents to make a penny. And there's more nickel in a nickel than there is the nickel is worth. So as they debased our currency, even these false coins are taking more value simply because, you know, it costs so much to make them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So that's what I encourage people to do is to, if you can, put some money into gold and silver. And, again, this is just, I tell people say, well, gold is so high and silver is so high. Well, this is just the beginning of the rise in gold. Like, that gentleman was talking about.
Richard Russell, right.
Richard Russell. And, you know, the first phase, I'm not smart enough to figure out the phases like he is, but all I know is it's going to continue to rise, and if people can buy some gold now, now's the time to do it, because this is just the beginning. When gold, when the dollar collapses and gold gets to $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 an ounce, you know, you're not going to look back and say, well, I really paid a lot of money when it was $700, $800, $900. It's going to be a moot issue at that point.
And I think that it's so strange for the average individual to realize, of course, that we have a fiat money system. It has no value at all. And if you don't have something that has intrinsic value, you can get wiped out. You talked a little bit earlier about what had happened in Argentina. I think that most Americans have forgotten it was only about 3 years ago when the Argentine peso was tied to the dollar. The government guaranteed it. Argentina had had a lot of trouble with inflation in the past, but the government assured everybody that the peso was tied to the dollar. They had nothing to worry about. It was perfectly stable. And they kept insuring them right up to the very morning when they closed the bank and devalued the currency, the value of the currency of the peso by three quarters, and wiped out three quarters of the value of everybody that it worked for all of their life. And of course, then of course they have to start it all over again, and the middle class is wiped out, and now the economy's got going again. People are trying to get ahead, and but of course the people who were totally invested in pesos rather than in dollars or the smart money, of course, had already moved out of the country, but the great vast majority of the middle class were simply wiped out once again in Argentina. Could it happen here? Why couldn't it happen here? I mean, our government lies to us. Our leaders lie to us. The people on the Federal Reserve lie to us. They have a plan. And their plan, really, of course, is laid out in the Earth Charter. And if you haven't read the Earth Charter, why I suggest you get a copy off the internet. If you can't get one, we'll be glad to provide one for you. That's the Earth Charter and Read Point 10A, Equitable Distribution of Wealth Within Nations and Between Nations. How to get equitable distribution of wealth while you simply robbed from the middle class. How to get equitable distribution between nations. Why you simply impoverish the people in our country and transfer our wealth to other nations. Who wrote the Earth Charter? Three of the wealthiest men in the world. They're not talking about redistributing their wealth. They're talking about redistributing your wealth. That's the Earth Charter. I hope you'll get it. I hope you'll read it. I hope you'll understand that it is the satanic plan for America. They, of course, keep this in the Ark of Hope, which is the Luciferian counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. And, of course, as Maurice Strong and Mikhail Gorbachev, that great American patriot, say, this is to be the new Ten Commandments for the world. How can they come up with the Ten Commandments? Why, they worship a different God. And when you understand that, everything begins to make sense, because we truly are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Well, now, if people were going to buy silver at this time, Cal, would they be buying 90% bags? Would they be buying silver rounds? Would they be buying silver bars? Would they be buying the ETF, this exchange-traded fund? Or would they be in silver stocks? How would the people best invest in silver?
Well, again, my approach is very logical in the sense that I look down the road to when the dollar collapses, and you know what are people going to do to buy, sell, and trade on that day? You have to have something that's practical. Now that's why I recommend the what's called junk silver, 90%, the dimes, quarters, and half dollars. They were legal tender up until 1964, so because they're the most practical thing. If you have a You can buy silver in 100-ounce bars or 10-ounce bars or 1-ounce bars or silver eagles, silver rounds. You can do all that. But you have to look at the practicality of it all. So what are you going to do with a 100-ounce bar in a barter situation when the currency collapses? Once, you know, silver is $50 an ounce, you got a 100-ounce bar, the bar is worth $5,000. How are you going to barter with it? How are you going to buy a loaf of bread? So it's very, very practical. To do what I suggest. Not that I have a corner on the knowledge here, but it makes sense. And when it makes sense to people, how it can be used and how you can, you know, that's what I explain in my paper, how you can determine, like, for instance, the value of a dime or a quarter or half dollar or a silver dollar. How can you determine the purchasing power of that coin on the street on any given day, you know, once the currency has collapsed? It's very, very simple. You just need to multiply the silver content of that coin times the value of silver per ounce for any day. You can determine that. And the same thing with gold applies. You know, if you have a 10th ounce, quarter ounce, half ounce, or 1 ounce coin, whatever gold is that particular day, whether it's $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, just multiply the gold content times the value of gold, and you get the purchasing power. So it's not going to be rocket science. It's going to be very, very simple. The problem that people have talking to most or listening to most of these gold coin companies that are on the air, they're on TV, and they have huge companies, huge budgets, huge overheads. I mean, they have to support themselves and their exorbitant lifestyles, so that's why they recommend these tremendously high-priced, high-mint-state coins that are for collectors only. In fact, I was talking to a lady just yesterday. She's a client of mine 6 years ago when I worked for My first gold coin company. I sold her 50 gold pieces, 51-ounce gold pieces, Liberties, low grade, which have almost doubled in price now, so she was very happy, but I caught her kind of in the middle of this. She got a call from another gold coin company, and they were persuading her to exchange or convert or reposition these 51-ounce gold pieces into 10 ounces of MS-65, MS-66, some $10 Indians, MS-64. She was going to trade 50 ounces of gold for 10 ounces of gold. And they convinced her that it was these are tremendous investment coins, they're going to go up in value. And this is just nothing but crookedness and wickedness. That's all it is. So I got in the middle of it, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, but she She sent her 50 gold pieces in, but she hasn't received the others in return. So I said, you can stop it at this point. You can call them up and say, I don't want these, I don't want those other coins. I want my other ones back. And I said, you know, you can complain to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. You can get the FBI, the State Attorney General's office, your attorney. You can stop this process. These are the scam companies. This is what I talk about in my paper. You know, it's nobody except me that I know of is out there, you know, telling these things because, you know, it's the gold coin industry is basically unregulated. It's buyer beware. Whatever they can get away with, and they usually do, because people just don't know. They just don't know what is right and what is wrong out there. So they're easy prey to these smooth talking charlatans, and that's kind of what I tell about in my paper. So if anybody wants that, just please give me a call or go to my website, and I'll be glad to send it to you.
Okay, we got sort of a buzz there. I guess we got rid of it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I really think that Cal's a suggestion is an important one. There are an awful lot of sharks out there in the water, and just be very, very careful when you're buying your gold and silver, and make sure that you're getting it. But you're not in a position to evaluate, you know, the collector's coins. You're really not. Unless you are a professional in this business, you can start getting into collector coins, and they can tell you whatever they want to, and what you do if what they tell you isn't true. So it's be very, very careful. I think it's the old adage is buyer beware. Isn't that right, Cal?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So that's why I put that paper together. I had no intentions of doing it, but a talk show host, you know, said he had so many requests for something, you know, the things that I was saying on the air in writing that I put it together, and it's now 26 pages. I could write another 5 to update it if I had some time, because there's a lot that has happened since. But it's really timeless material. It's very apropos to today, because it'll educate you if you want to buy gold and silver. If you don't get it from me, that's fine, but at least you'll have an education after you read it.
All right, fine. Let's go to Paul, who's calling in from Arizona. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Paul, how are you doing tonight?
Fine, Dr. Stan. I got a question. I'm a pretty nice guy, but I'm not real bright. Anyway, I have a family member that's very wealthy, and all the wealth is in oil stocks. Now, how does that work out when the dollar loses all its value? I just can't figure it out. I wouldn't know what to tell her.
All right. What would you tell Paul? He has somebody in their family that all of their stock is all their money is in oil stocks, and I imagine those oil stocks are doing pretty well right now, aren't they?
I'm pretty sure.
All right, fine. So what would you tell Paul if he was going to talk to this relative? And they're making money hand over fist.
Yeah, they are. But it's dollars.
Right.
Yes. See, it's like gold stocks. You know, they're doing very well, too, now. You know, gold, silver, commodities, that's fine. But if it's tied to the dollar, and if it's still a number on a piece of paper. So when the dollar collapses, that stock will be worthless. Yeah, how are you going to cash it in? How are you going to take possession of the oil? I mean, there's all these unanswered, rather practical questions of what are you going to do at that point?
Well,
and I understand it.
Well, we seem to be getting somebody's giving us a little interference. Paul, I would suggest that, you know, advise them maybe to diversify. In other words, take some of the money that they have in their oil stocks and invest it in gold and silver. Leave some of it in the gold and silver because the oil stocks may go up for a time. But there are three rules for investment today. Diversify, diversify, diversify. And that's the best advice I can give anybody. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, because if somebody steps on the basket, no more eggs.
Well, I just couldn't figure it out. They've done very well, of course. They're not hurting at all. But I just couldn't figure out what was going to happen when because the oil will be just like gold.
Right. In fact, they call that black gold. So I certainly, if I had a lot of money in oil stocks, which I don't, I'd certainly need some of it in the oil stocks. But I would want to have other things as well. And the other thing is that you are totally dependent upon the integrity of the oil company to stand behind your investment.
Well,
I will tell you, once in a while, I've been in investments where suddenly the company just disappeared. And somebody ran off into the sunset with a smile on their face, and we never saw them again. So diversify. And if they're doing well, they take some out and leave some in.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had thought, but I wanted the arguments. And I was having trouble because the oil will go up just like the gold will.
Yeah, absolutely. But what happens if the people who are running the company are crooks?
Well, integrity of the oil company is an oxymoron, isn't it?
Right. Amen to that. We're just about out of time. Thanks for calling, Paul.
Right. Thanks a lot.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. Cal, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Okay. Well, again, I wanted to encourage people to give me a call. And just talk through maybe your situation. A lot of times I do turn people away that don't have enough money to get into gold. I encourage people to first, look after the immediate needs of your family. You've got to have a year's worth of food at least, because that's what you're going to buy with your silver anyway. So that's very practical. You have to have enough cash, kind of a cash cushion, something to fall back on as long as the dollar has some value. And then if you want to preserve your wealth, you really have to, you have to feel comfortable with, buying gold and silver. I don't push anybody to say, well, here it is, whatever you feel comfortable with. I talk that way all the time. But I'm really encouraging people to get out of financial institutions as much as possible, because those institutions, along with the government, are not concerned about your welfare or your future or your family's future. They're only concerned about themselves and hanging on to what they consider their money after you put your money in their hands. That's how they feel about it. So they are not your friends. The system is in the throes of death. The dollar is in the throes of death. The rest of the world knows it. That's why gold and silver are rising the way they are. That's why all the commodities are going up, because nations are buying tangibles. And now the BRIC nations, called the BRIC nations, BRIC, they've been buying gold, physical gold, with their cash, most of them with dollars, and taking physical possession. That's why gold is climbing the way it is. Now, the BRIC nations, BRIC, stands for Brazil, for B, R for Russia, I for India, and C for China. Now, the BRIC nations have more physical gold than the G7, United States, England, France, Germany. They have more gold in their possession than the G7 nations, and so they understand what's important, and that's why they're buying gold. If you'd like to get a hold of me, please call 414-234-8267, or look at my website. It's www.goldandsilverexchange.info. And you can sign up for my paper there. Give me a call. If you would like me to call you back, I've got a phone with unlimited minutes. So just say, Cal, I'd like you to call me back. I'd be glad to do it and talk through your situation, see what you can do.
All right, fine. Again, that web page is?
www.goldandsilverexchange.info.
All right. Hold that time for just one moment here. And, Cal, I want you to get your telephone number out one more time before we let you go.
It's 414-234-8267.
One more time.
414-234-8267.
All right, God bless. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Cal Grunwald, and certainly we've been talking about what's going on economically. And I would suggest that people get hold of that article by Richard Russell. You can get that off the Internet. He just came out within the last 24 to 48 hours. And Richard Russell's been along. He's been around a lot longer than I have. He must be in his 80s. And he's just saying that this is the first stage of a 3-stage bull market in gold and precious metals. And, of course, this is exactly what Bob Chapman is saying. And Bob's run around. Bob's a couple of years younger than I am, but he's been at this a little longer than I have. And I think that that's exactly right. And so what you've seen is a retrenchment here in the price of gold and silver, and they will form a new base, and then they will build on that base. So this is a good time, of course, to be positioning yourself for what lies ahead. And I believe, of course, we are in very real problems because I believe there are people working within our Federal Reserve System whose loyalty is not to America, but to the internationalist dream. I believe that's exactly why they're planning on allowing massive immigration into America. And we'll be talking about this next hour with our good friend Glenn Spencer. They're planning on allowing up to 200 million new immigrants in America in the next 20 years. What do you think another 200 million people are going to do to this country? Why would they be interested in doing that? Why is the president suddenly pandering and saying, oh, we're going to have all these troops on the border, we're going to guard the border? He's been president for 5 years. Did he just find there was a problem? No, it's all for your perception. It's to make forefathers declared a new order of the ages. They were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What is the ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled? Why, it's the new order of the ages. And what's the new order of the ages? You go up on the internet and type in, Google in, new order of the ages, and you'll find, what is it? Nova Sidera Seclorum, the ancient plan of the mystery religions. If you want to understand this, you need to get my newsletters. We'll be glad to send you free copies of my newsletter. I suggest my April newsletter. And, of course, you can get my February and March newsletter up on the Internet. Of course, we hope maybe many of you will want to subscribe to the newsletter. If you'd like to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will give you the background behind this, my talk on the World Revolution, the book written by the Librarian of Congress, Fire in the Minds of Men, that tells about the secret occult societies that brought about the French Revolution and the subsequent revolutions, plays down, of course, the involvement here in America, but after all, Mr. James H. Billington's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, which, of course, had its origin in a secret society that was formed back in 1891. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty, and we'll be having Mr. Glenn Spencer as our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from the American Border Patrol, Glenn Spencer. Glenn, thanks very much for being with us this evening.
It's a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Well, these are certainly exciting times that we're living in, because there is a conscious effort to destroy America. There's no question at all that if the immigration legislation were to go through as it is currently slated to go through, why, it would change America forever. In fact, I was just reading now the analysis of what's happening, the Heritage Foundation's analysis of this legislation, this immigration reform, Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act. And they would, of course, within the next 20 years, increase the immigration to America between 100 and 200 million people. 200 million more people could come into America in the next 20 years. And the stipulations on this thing, people would be able to come in, and then they could bring their parents, and their parents wouldn't ever pay into Social Security, but they'd be eligible for Social Security, because we're kind and generous people, and we want to help people. And people could not only come in themselves, but then they could bring in their families and their children and their adult children and the adult children's families and their brothers and their sisters and their parents, who would become eligible for Social Security. What sort of madness is this, Glenn?
Well, it is the madness, Dr. Stan, that we have been warning the people about for so many years, that this was the plan that was afoot. This was the conspiracy. This was the plan to destroy America. And it was presented to us first a few weeks ago when they tried to push this bill through the Senate without debate. Without debate. And it came close to succeeding. Now they're trying to limit it and get it pushed through this week. They wanted a vote by Friday.
And of course, I think people have to understand that, first of all, they're going to take the people who are here illegally at the present time and make at least 85% of them legal, and the other 15% are supposed to just go home. Those who've been here less than 2 years, or three groups. One is the people who've been here over 5 years, about 60% of them, and they automatically become legal, and they can stay here and become citizens. And those that who have been here between 2 and 5 years, and that's about 25% of them, they, of course, will be made legal, but with a green card, and then they can apply later on to become legal. And then there's the 15% who've been here less than 2 years, and they're supposed to be nice people, and they're supposed to just go home like they're supposed to. And does anybody really believe they're going home? Probably a million and a half, two. They say they're between, are they 11 and 12 million? I think it's probably closer to 20 million, don't you?
Yes.
So, once again, they're lying to us.
And this, of course, assumes that illegal immigration is brought to a complete halt. And there's no evidence that they will succeed in doing that.
In fact, they have no intention of doing it, but they're trying to convince us. That's why they're going to put those National Guardsmen down at the border. But we're going to build maybe a 300-mile fence, or maybe even a 700-mile fence. But why bother to build a 300 or 700-mile fence on a 2,000-mile border? Seems to me any logical individual simply go around the fence. Wouldn't that be logical to you?
Well, of course, and they do that today. The proposal in the Senate of the United States will do very little to stem the flow. So
hold that thought right there, Glenn. Well, Glenn, you go ahead, pick up the story there.
Yeah, well, you're not talking about, let's say, 150 million. You're talking about 300 million. In other words, what this proposal is, what this piece of legislation would do, would be to throw open the borders of the United States to any and all who wanted to come. And we know that there are probably a couple of billion people out here who want to come. And mostly from Mexico, Central America, and South America. And this proposal, this piece of legislation in the Senate of the United States is an article of surrender to the Mexicans and the Mexican government and their reconquistadores who wish to take back not only the Southwest, but their plan, as we saw in these demonstrations and people marching through the streets, is to take over the entire continent and throw Europeans out. And our Senate is going along with the idea and this plan. This is absolute national suicide. And it is being proposed in front of the Senate of the United States right now.
But, of course, it has the full support of the President of the United States, who, you know, apparently he had actually encouraged a congressman to put in the bill that passed the House of Representatives, making being here illegal a felony, and that was designed to get the people marching all across America to have a 700-mile fence, knowing full well it wouldn't accomplish anything. In fact, they set up the bill in the House of Representatives as sort of a stalking horse, as simply something to confuse people where the real legislation is going to be passed in the Senate. And it is aimed at destroying the sovereignty of the United States. Would that be a fair statement, Glenn?
Well, now, the Sensenbrenner legislation in the House of Representatives, I will give it credit for one thing. It raised a lot of eyebrows in the open borders advocacy groups. It led to the huge demonstrations. I don't think they expected this. But the Sensenbrenner bill precipitated those huge demonstrations where millions of people were marching through our streets carrying the Mexican flag. So let's give it credit for that, for bringing the issue out in the open. But I would say that also, we...
Hold that thought, Glenn. We're going to have to just take a moment here, and then we'll be right back with it. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Glenn Spencer, and certainly we're talking about the attack on America. If this legislation goes through, we will throw our borders open. We will increase our population between 1 and 300 million people, probably about 200 million people. That's the estimate we've had from a number of sources. The American people are not being told that they will increase the legal immigration. That's the legal, not the illegal immigration. The legal immigration up to 5 million. And then, of course, it will increase from there. And then they're going to have temporary workers coming in. And then we will have all the illegals here, probably not 11 or 12 million, as they're telling us, but 20 million, and they're going to be able to bring in their relatives and their families and then their parents, and they're going to be eligible for Social Security. And then the people who will be here legally will be able to bring in, once they're established and citizens, they'll be able to bring in their parents and their brothers and their sisters and their adult children and their families. And what madness is this, Glenn?
Well, it is absolute insanity. The Senate even debated, Senator Inhofe of Oklahoma offered an amendment to this bill before the Senate. And essentially he said, well, they snuck into, it's talking about the illegal aliens and Social Security. And some of the illegal aliens steal the Social Security numbers of Americans. By the way, this causes all sorts of havoc and problems for Americans, people who try to, let's say, get unemployment benefits. And they're told, well, you're still working. You can't get unemployment. You're still working. The reason the unemployment office tells them they're still working, it's because someone is using the person's Social Security number. And so Senator Inhofe said, well, here they've come into the United States illegally. Some of them pay Social Security taxes on their from their payroll checks by stealing someone else's Social Security number. And so we probably shouldn't let them benefit from this and give them the benefits of this Social Security money. And so because it was they committed fraud in order to work here, in order to steal the Social Security number. The Senate turned that down.
And of course, basically what it is they were going to be able to, people who come here illegally and work illegally, were going to be rewarded by giving Social Security not only here, but of course if they went back to Mexico, they'd be able to get it.
The Senate turned it down. So they said, yes, it's okay for you to have come into the United States illegally. It's all right for you to have stolen someone else's Social Security number. We're not only going to not prosecute you for that, we're going to give you the full benefits of what you put in and what your employer put in so that you will qualify for Social Security benefits immediately.
And of course, the thing is that here in the United States, you said they qualified for they call it vested in Social Security in 10 years. So you work for 10 years, you get Social Security. In Mexico, it takes you 26 years. So then, of course, if they go back to Mexico, they can get their Mexican Social Security, they can get their American Social Security. Oh, we are a wonderful country, aren't we, Glenn?
But you know, Dr. Stan, and the wonderful Lou Dobbs on CNN had his reporters look into this, and they asked, well, wait a minute. These people are using someone else's Social Security number. Doesn't the Social Security Department, the IRS, know that? Why don't they inform Americans that someone else is using their Social Security number? Well, they claim that it's a violation of the privacy. There's a Privacy Act.
No, in other words, it's violating the privacy of the illegal aliens.
So they dug into this. And they found this is absolutely false. That this is, as he said, the bureaucrats are hiding behind this fig leaf of fiction. In other words, this conspiracy runs throughout our government. That not only does the INS or the Border Patrol, the Customs and Border Protection, look the other way as they cross our borders and enter our country. They know they are stealing Social Security numbers and are fabricating some excuse for not reporting it. So this conspiracy goes deep and broad throughout our country, throughout our government.
And, of course, one of the things that they voted on recently was making English the official language of the United States. And that amendment to the legislation passed overwhelmingly in the Senate. And then they came back, after everybody had voted for it, so that it looked good to the constituents, then they came back and they voted to amend that. And instead of English being the official language, we would simply support English, but we would not add or subtract from the current status of the way things are.
That is correct.
I mean, what they did is they totally gutted the amendment that they just voted on, but all the senators can say, well, you see, we voted for English, you know, to be an official language, and then they voted not to have English the official language.
Well,
that's amazing how the senators can do that, and the average constituent out there has no idea how they've lied to them. Everything is perception. They want to make the people think that they're in favor of America while they're intent upon betraying our national sovereignty.
Well, this time they're doing it out in the open. C-SPAN 2 is on. People are watching this. Talk radio, I have been told, across the country, is they're burning up the airways. Rush Limbaugh is condemning this whole process in the Senate of the United States.
But I bet he's not telling you that the reason they're doing is because our leaders are dedicated globalists who want to do away with our sovereignty.
No, they won't. They won't tell you that.
No, of course not.
They just think that they're, you know, pandering to the Hispanic vote, which is nonsense.
Absolutely. I mean, most of these people, and so many of them, are not voting. But you know, it has nothing to do with the Spanish vote. It has to do with the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States. That's what it's about.
That is exactly what it is. Just as we have been saying for all these many years, this is what is going on. This proposal was a suicide pact. For the United States of America, just take this medicine and you'll be all right. It was a deadly poison that they have prepared for us to swallow, and our nation would die before our very eyes, And this is the concoction that they have prepared for this. This is the brew that they have for me and you. And it is a terrible day in America. And I pray for the country. I pray for us that the American people will see this for what it is and stand up and fight back. And I will be fighting alongside them, and I hope that they will join us and fight for our country.
And I think it's really so revealing that recently a wife, the Minutemen groups are down there along the border trying to do something, at least trying to point out that, you know, the government is failing to defend our borders. And what is the INS doing, at least certain officials there? They're letting the Mexican authorities know where the Minutemen are stationed so that the Mexican authorities can redirect the people trying to come into our country illegally and not encounter the Minutemen. Why would the people, some people in the INS, be working against the Minutemen? I'm sure many border guards are good, patriotic people, but it appears that the people in key positions have a different agenda.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, about a month and a half ago, I issued a report to the Senate, and many, many senators saw my report. It was in DVD format. It was called the Border Patrol, How It Works and Why It Doesn't. It's a detailed, microscopic look at the Border Patrol and why it doesn't work. And in there, I point out that the Border Patrol for years has been run by open borders advocates, run by agents of the Ford Foundation.
And I think that's so important for our listeners to understand. The Ford Foundation is actually supporting this whole illegal immigration movement because they are dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of America, and they have been for the better part of 75 years. And you go back and you read the report from the Reese Committee and the Cox Committee back in the 1950s, the Ford Foundation was funding subversive organizations in the United States, frank communist organizations, and they're still funding communist-backed organizations in America today. And the fact that most people have never heard that simply reflects the degree of control that exists over the media and ultimately then over what the American people think.
Well, there's no question. They had on C-SPAN the other day a meeting of the Migration Policy Institute, and they had a hearing. It was a meeting that involved most of the foreign ministers of the Latin American countries, and they are financed by the Carnegie Endowment, but for international peace.
Yeah, that Alger Hiss used to be the head of that. Go ahead.
And they admitted that this whole immigration thing was about globalism. It was about regionalism.
It's about doing away with the sovereignty of America.
And I could go into this. Demetrius Papandimitriou, head of the organization, said this. I have it on tape.
Now, we'll be back in just a minute. I wish you could play that for us. If not now, maybe in one of our future programs, Glenn. We'll be back in just a moment with Glenn Spencer here at Radio Liberty. Well, Glenn, go ahead. And you were just talking about meeting.
It,
go ahead.
It was on the Migration Policy Institute had a meeting. It was on C-SPAN. I don't have it digitized yet. But the head of this organization, Dimitrios Papandimitriou, got up and said, this migration is all about globalization, about regionalization. Now, sitting next to him, right, was the former head of the INS, right, Doris Meissner, who I have attacked as a traitor when she was head of the INS under Clinton. And he looked at her, and she said, and he said, and Ms. Meissner used to be commissioner of the INS, and I wish she still was, because she could help us in our program of globalization. Well, that's what she was doing when she was there. And she had the people from the Ford Foundation there. They're now coming public. They're saying this in the open. This is globalization. This is regionalization. This is the destruction of the United States. And he said that sitting next to the woman who helped bring these 11 million to 20 million people into the United States, the one most responsible for that. Because she was running the organization that ran the Border Patrol for many years. And he said it's too bad she's not still there because she could help us with this globalization. So it's out in the open, but it's, you have to understand, it's sort of, you know, the major media will not pick it up and tell you this. But they're now admitting it in the open, and that's what she was there for.
And that was so interesting. I was back in Washington, D.C. just a week ago at a meeting of one of the major groups that where should all of the major leaders of our conservative Christian organizations. I went to the group on immigration, and I listened for an hour as they talked about, oh, you know, it's just terrible. We're, you know, we open borders, and, you know, should we build a 700-mile fence or a 300-mile fence, and, you know, should we have the National Guard on the border or not? And I listened for an hour. Not one person, you know, mentioned globalization was what it was all about. I finally got up at the very end, and I just said, look, you're talking about all the wrong issues. Don't you understand? It has nothing to do with whether we have 300 or 700-mile fence, whether we, you know, this is a planned, organized effort to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, to merge us into a one-world government. Why don't you talk about that? And if you don't talk about it, then we'll continue our downward spiral towards destruction. And everybody looked at me blankly because that couldn't be true, because none of these experts they had on the panel had ever brought that up.
Well, then they're not experts. They don't know what they're talking about.
Or maybe they don't want the public to know what they're
maybe
talking about.
Maybe that's it.
Right.
But Senator Sessions, and I think he has been one of the real stars, and I'm sure he saw my report. These are his words. He said, if the American people had not been stiff-armed by an arrogant, elitist bureaucracy and political class, we wouldn't have between 11 and 20 million people in our country.
Illegal. He's talking about the illegal aliens, right?
Yes. In other words, stiff-armed by an arrogant, elitist bureaucracy. And he's talking about Doris Meissner and Dr. Robert Bach, and the current head of the Border Patrol, David Aguilar, right, who was handpicked and groomed for that position by Doris Meissner, right?
Now hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Glenn Spencer, and he's simply pointing out that on a recent CNN program, they had this a group of advocates, and they were openly admitting that this whole thing has to do with globalization, and one of the people on that committee was the former head of the Immigration and Naturalization Service, an employee of the Ford Foundation, saying, you know, if I was still there in the INS, I could do so much to help. This is all about an attack on America, and Glenn was just something that at least Senator Sessions was trying to get the information out. In fact, I've heard that Senator Sessions has analyzed the effect of this bill, and he says it will bring in approximately 208 million new people within 20 years. Is that a fairly accurate figure?
Correct. And he got up on the Senate floor, and he said he was talking to the people who are advocating this bill, and this is what he said. He said, why are you afraid to discuss this bill? Why are you afraid to tell the truth about your bill? Why are you putting your name, they call it the temporary guest worker program. He said, why are you putting that name on it when there's nothing temporary about it? He said, are you afraid the American people are going to find out? And he said, why, they are.
And, of course, that's our job. First of all, we have to understand we're bringing in the illegal aliens. And of course, here there are probably 20 million of them. They're all going to stay. They're all going to be illegal except for 15% of them, and they're not going to go home. And then we're going to have a new program that's the temporary guest worker program that, what is it, $325,000 a year, but that number will increase dramatically up to 20% a year and 20% a year compound interest in your on your account. Think of all the money you'd make in the bank. They're talking about 20% increase a year compounded if the demand is there. And then they're going to go from 1 million to 5 million legal aliens every year. And those people then can bring in their,
oh, yeah. And,
their parents.
And Lou Dobbs was even saying it. He says, why am I the only man on television even talking about this? You know, ABC, CBS, NBC. He was one of the most stunning proposals for the changing of our nation permanently forever and making it a third world nation, and the major news networks won't even talk about it.
Well, is Senator Sessions' report available any place? How can I get a copy of that? His speech?
We have the entire speech he gave. It's on video on American Patrol. And you can go to AmericanPatrol.com, and you can go to our past features and look down for May 20th, and the headline is Sessions Exposes Treachery, Treason. Spectre Gang Tried to Pull Fast One on America. And you can we have put streaming broadband video of his entire speech. On the Senate floor is on that website.
Is there any a transcript of that?
Would no,
that
we haven't. We don't have the resources to make it. There will be one in the congressional record eventually.
I wonder if Senator Sessions has that up in his.
Don't know. I haven't looked. But it's unusual that they would have a verbatim transcript of a speech on the Senate floor up that quickly.
All right. I think it's so vitally important that the American people know. Did he mention that 208,000 figure?
What he mentioned.
I mean, it's 208 million.
Says,
I should say.
He says, are you afraid that the American people found out it was really in it would have brought in 130 million people into the country permanently? He was using the figure 130 million, but you know this number has changed. The president, of course, challenged this. He said, this can't be true, and challenged these numbers. But of course, the author of that study got on Lou Dobbs last night, or rather Friday night, and defended them.
Who's the author?
I'm just looking it up right now. I'm trying to. I'll have it in a minute.
I mean, I certainly have got the report that was put up by Robert Rector of the Heritage Foundation.
That was it.
The Robert Rector of the Heritage Foundation, we have that. He says 103 million, but of course it could be up to 200 million. You know, if they all came in, all that we are authorizing, it would go up to 200 million people in the next 20 years. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand what they're saying? That is increasing our population by two-thirds. And they're all going to be eligible for welfare and Social Security, but it's a plan to destroy America. That is what it's really all about. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. If you look at it logically, of course it doesn't make sense. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our 464-8295. The enemy are not at the gate waiting to enter our country. They're in our country. They're working in the United States Senate. They're led by people like Arlen Specter on the Republicans and Ted Kennedy on the Democrat side. Well, Glenn, certainly, you know, of all the times that I've been watching, and I've been following this for 45 years, and I know you've been following it for a long time too, I don't think I've ever had more of a feeling of concern for the survival of this nation than I have right tonight.
Well, you should be. I know today there was a lot of wind. We couldn't fly. But I monitored the Border Patrol frequencies, and they were flooding across the border. And the reason that they were doing this is that because it was, we had a huge windstorm, and the Border Patrol aircraft cannot fly. The helicopters, nothing can fly. Also, the wind blows away their footprints, which is the principal method the Border Patrol uses to find and track people. And so they were flooding in, jumping into vehicles all on the highways. They were reporting this. They were caught reporting GTAs got away, jumping into the Safeway parking lot, down by the corrals, all over southern, southeastern Arizona.
Why don't they just put up border, you know, certainly to track the cars, have places where the cars are stopped and searched?
It was so wild Saturday morning. They were actually pulling pickup trucks up to the fences in Naco, Arizona, and people were jumping over the fences and jumping into the pickup trucks.
And, of course, isn't this really a massive increase in illegal aliens coming in at this time?
Oh, absolutely.
But, of course, they're all supposed to come home. If we pass this legislation, if they're here in less than 2 years, they're supposed to go home, and they're certainly going to obey the law, aren't they?
Oh, my gosh. You know, how... these people can keep a straight face is beyond me.
Well, of course.
I believe now, if you look at some of the votes, though, here the Senate voted by a factor of 82 senators voting for putting a 300-mile triple fence on the border. Now, this is unheard of, and also a 500-mile vehicle barrier.
And, of course, it's not going to do a bit of good.
But the point is, they have never done anything like that.
But, of course, don't you think it's to placate the American people and give them the impression...
But it will never be built.
Of course not.
Now, I will tell you, Dr. Stan, if they do build a 700-mile triple fence on that border, it will do some good. That fence in San Diego is only 14 miles long, and it's only a double fence. But it's cut illegal immigration in that 14-mile segment by 95%.
We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Tycho calling from Brooklyn. But before we go to him, and, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Glenn, I want you to get out your webpage and how people get in touch with the American Border Patrol.
All right, we have two websites. One, which is our political take-no-prisoners one that I finance myself, is AmericanPatrol.com. We have over 15 million hits. It's the most popular website in the country on this issue. Now, American Border Patrol, we're the nonprofit border observers. I'll be flying the border tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock Pacific time. We send video out. We do reports. We document this thing. We know more about the Border Patrol, what these problems are, than anybody alive, because we live it every day. I fly it almost every day. We gather data and intelligence almost every day. And so AmericanPatrol.com, the political side, AmericanBorderPatrol.com, the technical border watch group.
Okay, fine. And do you have a telephone number you want to put out?
Yeah, it's 1-800-600-8642 or 1-800-600-VOICE. There's nobody there to answer it right now, but there will be tomorrow.
Okay, let's go to, is it Tycho or Tycho?
Tycho, Dr.
Hi, Tycho. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Stan. I'd like to thank you for my opportunity to say a few things that I would like to say. And I'm very grateful for your show and the guest that you have tonight. Nothing could be further from the truth. You have touched on many issues. Dr. Stan, about 2 years ago, I wrote a letter to the then Attorney General Ashcroft, mentioning him the fact, you know, that, you know, people here... we're noticing a lot of people coming in from South America through Mexico, how they were being confused as being from Mexico. They have a lot of the features. Another aspect is also, and I mentioned that in my letter about what you just said, we have ethnic groups coming from certain parts of the world that their families are such an extended family, you could say that they're like tribes. And you're absolutely right. They will bring in daughter, mother, cousins, what have you. They will bring them in. In New York City, we have a tremendous problem with housing. You will find 15, sometimes 16 people living in a four-room or a five-room apartment. Rents are sky high, and it started with that because an illegal alien would approach a landlord, and he will get the apartment quicker than a native born. Why? Because he needed a place, and the landlord could get much more money out of them. The other thing is also this. At this particular moment, the country is being preoccupied with the border with Mexico, which is truly a headache. But Canada is the Achilles heel also for this country. In less than 10 years, Dr. Stan, there's a section in Queens called Richmond Hill. In less than 10 years, if you go up there, you will think that you're in British Guiana in South America. Why? Because they're coming through Canada and through our airports. And lately, Puerto Rico, which is an American territory in the Caribbean, is being inundated now. The Cubans have found another hole. They will travel to the Dominican Republic, and then they will come from the Dominican Republic into Puerto Rico, which is easier for them. So I believe that the country is being inundated through all means that they can get, Dr. Stan.
And, of course, we all will lose from this. There's certainly, there are a lot of wonderful people. A lot of the people from Mexico are wonderful people. They want a better life.
Yes.
If I was living in Mexico, I would be coming across the border myself, especially when I realized, of course, that our government is doing everything they can not to apprehend them, not to enforce the laws. Our government wants them to come, but what they don't understand is they're being used as part of a cadre to destroy this nation. And with that, of course, we'll destroy the best hope for all mankind.
Well, you know, July 1990, there was a meeting in Quito, Ecuador. It was a hemispheric movement called Uno Continente, Una Cultura. The doctrine was to remove the European culture from the Western Hemisphere. And it laid out a plan to accomplish this. And this is what the effect of that has been. We are now seeing, right, 16 years later, the effect of this, when we saw banners with 700,000 people marching through Los Angeles saying, "This is our continent. Get out."
Yes. Yes, and I agree with you so much, because we see that not only in the United States, we see Europe, France, Spain being inundated, by these third world countries. We could accept people. We all, like Dr. Stan just mentioned, if you always look for a betterment, but then, hey, you cannot do it the way that it's going, because the third world country has found a loophole in our democracy. And they're exploiting it as best as they can.
But, of course, they could not do this, Tico, without the full help and support of the Ford Foundation, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bush administration, and the leaders of the Democratic Party. So we're under attack today. God bless you. And I know you care about as much about America as I do. I can tell from the intensity of your voice.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless
you. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, do you have anything to say before we go to our next guest, Glenn, because we got a full board?
I have really, that is it. You know, I'm quoting from a specialist. We had a special meeting at American Patrol 13 years ago.
Sure.
And Mr. Wainscote was an expert in counterinsurgency. And he laid out before us this whole plan and what it was going to do to our country. And I have this, it's on our website. You can search under Wainscoat. And, you know, he was absolutely right. And we were absolutely right. And here we see before us in the Senate of the United States proposals to destroy the country.
You're absolutely right. Let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. And ladies and gentlemen, what you want to do is begin writing your congressman, calling your congressman, emailing your congressman, faxing your congressman. Don't even bother to write. Just email, fax, and call their offices and tell them that if this legislation goes through, they're responsible for it. They've allowed it to happen. They can block this after it goes to conference committee. If there are enough congressmen to vote against that, if they vote for this legislation when it comes back from conference committee, if it comes back in the middle of the night and they're not there, they're responsible for it. They're traitors to America. Let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Question was, I have my ideas about this, but I was wondering who actually came up with the idea of the guest worker program. Was it Frist or was it Ted Kennedy, or was it just a group of people, or was it President Bush himself?
No, it was President Bush.
He came up with the idea, but I can't believe that he could.
He's not that smart. Somebody else told him what
somebody
to do.
Somebody else told him.
Well,
I can't. Yeah, I'm just wondering.
The first indication of where he was going with this came. It was in 2001, right after he was elected.
Yeah.
In January 2001, President Bush had a meeting at the White House, and he said, "We have to make migration safe and orderly." And I read that, and my jaw dropped.
He's not even saying immigration; it's migration.
Migration is
the
already
word.
Safe and orderly.
Right.
So what he was saying was we have to make my illegal immigration safe and orderly. But I knew that those were the same words that the National Council of La Raza was using.
Right.
So right after he was elected president, right, he let us know that he was an open borders advocate. But I think I was the only one, maybe Dr. Stan and I, on the whole planet
yeah, right.
who saw that.
Yeah. I've always felt that they should. I've always been against illegal immigration, you know, because like anybody else, anybody with any common sense would know that after several years of this, you know, there'll be millions and millions of people over here and illegally or, you know, whatever.
And, of course, we'll have the same sort of law and order they have down in Mexico and in Brazil.
Yeah.
And down there, they just slaughter people by the hundreds, and nobody even cares about it.
Yeah, this is why they call this immigration anarchy.
Right.
Yeah,
this is lawlessness.
And, Ray, you've got to help us. You've got to start calling and emailing and faxing, and you keep right after it.
I've been going after Feinstein and Boxer, too, quite frequently.
God bless you. Thanks so much,
thanks.
Ray. And let's go to Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question?
Thanks. Now, of course, no one could be as stupid as Rush Limbaugh's professed a bafflement the day of or before Bush's speech. You know, if these leaks are true, it's just, you know, what is he trying to destroy the Republican Party inside of 50 years?
Absolutely. No, he's going to have it pretty well destroyed by the time he gets through. Do you have a question for our guest, Roger?
Well, just the comment that the Bush himself, then, in his delivery, he has such high confidence in the collective stupidity of us that he's just basically skipped the pseudo-intellectual claptrap entirely and made it crystal clear. As far as he can help it, we're not going to have any border control without swallowing the poison pill of his compromise plan. And that further, of course, that these National Guards, inadequate as they are to the purpose, were to do no more than the much despised Minutemen.
All right, fine. Anything else? How would you respond to that?
God bless you.
That's right. George Bush has said, we cannot have border control without a guest worker program. It won't work. And of course it won't work. He's going to make sure it doesn't work.
Right. And I think that's what's so important to understand, that they're using this whole thing to get through this legislation to destroy America. We're all being manipulated, and until we understand that I don't think George Bush is the architect of this. I think that it's Dick Cheney, who, of course, represents the Trilateral Commission, who, you know, is there to control things, to make sure things run efficiently, just like George Bush's father controlled the administration of Ronald Reagan. Of course, also George Bush's father came from the Trilateral Commission. Anybody who doesn't know their logo, go to their website, trilateral.org. That's trilateral.org, and look at their logo. Look very, very carefully, because there's two messages there, and both of them come from the very pit of hell. But go ahead.
I believe that what we may be witnessing here is the Senate of the United States proposing such an outrageous bill that they know the House of Representatives will never agree to it. And what will then happen? Nothing. You see? That's what they want. They don't want anything to happen. Why? Because they're winning. They're flooding in here by the millions, and they just keep doing it.
Well, I think that certainly we want to keep the pressure on Congress to actually not pass this legislation, because this legislation would be a disaster. And certainly I hope you're absolutely right. I hope that the Congress refuses to vote for this, and then, of course, it will die. But, of course, you know, George Bush will see that they continue streaming in here. We already have over 20 million illegal aliens here, and, of course, they're going to be increasing that number at a fantastic rate. How many do you think are coming across the border every day now, Glenn? Any
probably
idea?
Probably between 3,000 and 4,000.
About 3,000 and 4,000 a day?
Yes. Now, I believe that if we can put pressure on the government to enforce the border, I have a theory, and I don't want to say too much about it, that would help solve the problem. I don't want to say why, but I have my theory, and I don't want to go public with it.
Oh, right,
and that's
fine.
Why I am down here on the border. This is why we're gathering intelligence and submitting reports to Congress. We are having an effect. We are exposing what is going on. And I'm sure that Senator Sessions has seen our confidential report and how they subvert, how they refuse to use technology. Give you an example. The Border Patrol, which is chasing people through the desert where there are hardly any landmarks, does not use global positioning satellite systems, GPS. I had a grandmother who picked me up in California and had a GPS in her car that told her where to go. The Border Patrol doesn't use it, and the reason for that is it would be very effective to guide them to illegal aliens. But they don't want to be effective. So they deprived the Border Patrol of the use of this technology. We developed a very simple GPS system and demonstrated it to the Border Patrol through another company so that they wouldn't know it was me. They took one look at it and went the other way. It was too simple. It was too effective. They're not interested.
And, of course, they do not want to solve the problem.
That's correct.
And it's
I'm just giving you an example of what I'm talking about.
Now, of course, by GPS, you mean
global positioning satellite.
I know, but how would that be utilized by the Border Patrol? Would it, would they then call in the...
No. What happens is, for example... they used to have an unmanned aerial vehicle, which crashed, by the way, on the very day they were supposed to increase its funding in the Senate. On the very day. And crashed under mysterious circumstances.
How much did that cost?
$6 million.
How much did the one that you created cost?
$50,000.
$50,000. So maybe they should have been using yours.
Of course. But even at that, there's crash. But when they were using it, and when the helicopters fly over... when they were using it, it was very effective. They would use their thermal camera, and they were high enough, they were quiet, they were very powerful cameras, they would spot people. But they would try to tell the Border Patrol where to go. Now, there's no landmarks down there. There are no roads.
Okay,
signs.
That's where you need the GPS then.
And so all we did, we designed a system so that the UAV operator pushed a button, and the man on the ground had a box, and it had an arrow on it. So this way, this far. And he kept going in that direction, and it would change and everything. So it was very simple. But they can't, you see, they have very difficult time guiding each other around in the desert because there are no landmarks.
Sure. And of course,
remember that big cactus over there? It's just that there are millions of cacti here.
And, of course, we have satellites up in the sky that can read a newspaper from outer space, but us shucks, we can't use that. You know, that wouldn't be fair.
I'm just telling you that the simple method, we have a little device that was $300 they could have, and you could just press a button, and the agents on the ground would be guided directly right over to where the aliens are that the aircraft saw.
And, of course,
we had six of them to give them to use for free, and they wouldn't try it.
I know. Well, of course, you and I both know they don't want to solve the problem. They want the problem there to justify getting the legislation through to destroy America. And when you understand that, everything makes sense. And we'll get to Bill in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Bill calling from Florida. Bill, do you have a question for our comment, for our guest?
I had a question for Glenn. Wondered what he thought about the plan that was signed at Bush's ranch by Vicente Fox and the Premier of Canada, that by the year 2010 we would have open borders.
I think that was signed at Waco, but that was in March of last year, 2005. But
right, that is the Council on Foreign Relations plan that Doris Meissner was involved with. That's where we're going to have a common currency and all of that, and that's what this is all about. They're calling it the Amero instead of the dollar.
And of course, they actually CFR came out with a report called Building a North American Community. 2 months later, they came out with that report. You can pick it up off their webpage at Council on Foreign Relations. And go right ahead.
That's correct. It was it's building a North American community, and this is what the Papandreou and all of these people are talking about. This is what they're trying to do: is erase our borders with Mexico by the year 2010. To merge the two, the three cultures, the three nations, and with a common currency. It is absolute insanity.
I don't think it's insane at all. I think it's the culmination of a long-term plan to destroy America. And if that's what they're trying to do, I think they're being very effective.
Yes, but the thing is, the mainstream media will not discuss it.
Of course they won't, because the mainstream media is all tied into this these cliques. And of course, there's not one organization, there's a myriad of them. I mean, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Club of Rome, the Trilateral Commission, certainly the Skull and Bone Society, the intelligence agencies, certainly the so many of the other organizations listed in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, they all coordinate together. And they have a common goal, a new world order and a new world religion, and the destruction of the sovereignty of America. Do you understand that? Everything makes sense. Anything else, Bill?
Just one other quick comment. The best way to get a hold of your congressmen and senators is at Numbers USA to send them a fax or to call them, because if you mail them, I've heard tell that it takes 2 to 3 weeks because they go through and check every piece of mail.
We don't have 2 or 3 weeks. What are your thoughts on that, Glenn?
That's absolutely true because of the security. Or mail it to their field offices.
Yeah.
Any mail that goes to Washington is delayed significantly.
Okay, thanks very much, Bill.
Thank you very much.
And Glenn, I want to thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure having you, and I'll talk to you off the air.
Thank you.
God bless you for everything
God
you're doing and the front lines of this battle. Glenn Spencer's been there for a long time. God bless. Good
God
night.
Bless.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Glenn Spencer. How can you, of course, enjoy knowing your home is being destroyed, your country that you love is being destroyed? But that's exactly what's going on today. But Glenn's a fantastic source of information, and go to his websites, American Patrol or American Border Patrol, and of course help them and support them. They're doing a great job. I got the utmost confidence and certainly respect for Glenn Spencer. Well, we have a great 4-tape set on immigration. We have a book, Fighting the Alien Invasion. I think there's the title of it, Fighting the Alien Invasion. We have, of course, the book of the entitled The Importing Revolution, going into how the Ford Foundation is funding all of this. That if you, of course, haven't seen the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, it was written in 1958, but it tells how the Ford Foundation was funding subversive activities at that time. And then, of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will help to tie all of this together and what this is really all about, and explains to you the spiritual battle behind everything going on today. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And once again, that book, I think, is Fighting Inflation, I think Immigration Anarchy. Fighting Immigration Anarchy is one book. Importing Revolution, our four-tape set on immigration. You need to have this information. You need to help us get it out. And, of course, that will be the subject of my next newsletter that we'll be putting out, giving you the background of this whole effort to betray America. It's starting at the very highest levels of our government, within the White House itself, by people whose loyalty is not to the United States, but this globalist dream. And until you understand that there is a conscious effort to destroy our sovereignty and merge us into a one-world government, nothing going on makes sense. And so we do hope many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to understand what's happening financially, how about the financial tsunami that's coming on America, we will have, by the end of this week, our DVDs on that talk. We'll also have the video. They'll both be available through Radio Liberty. And those of you who already ordered the DVD, thank you for being patient. We have, of course, the excellent syllabus we put together with a lot of government reports. And to understand what is really going on financially, you need to have the information. And then, of course, you need to help us get it out across America. That's the financial tsunami, either the DVD or the video, and then the syllabus by the same number. Incidentally, I'm going to be giving a talk this Saturday. It's going to be at the meeting, the conspiracy conference. It's going to be held up in the Hyatt Regency in Santa Clara. If you'd like more information on that, you can give us a call, or you can call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. I'll be speaking at 8:30 on Saturday morning at the Hyatt Regency in Santa Clara. But you're going to have to call 209-832-0999. Hope to see you there. Please pray for America. Pray for a survival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.